Welcome to Draw One Last Breath Horror Podcast. My name's Matt.
I'm Butch.
I'm Jody Paul.
Welcome to episode 152. On this episode, we've been to the cinema to watch Immaculate. We have a special Something to Scream About and our movie from the vault that I picked was Scared Stiff. How the devil are you doing, guys?
Well, have I got the stiffy for you.
Well, I mean, how can I possibly follow that up? Yeah, I am all good.
I imagine you've got a 3.5-inch floppy.
No comment.
Again, no comment.
Yeah. I've been busy, man. There's been a new TV show on Netflix, which has made the news as well. Free Body Problem, this new sci-fi, which I've sort of described as, I don't know, what happens if you knew, like, the visitors from V were coming, basically, but you've got 400 years to prepare for them. So it's quite interesting.
It's been a while since you mentioned V as well, Paul, to be fair. Well done.
Yeah. It was a loose connection. I got to get it in. The aliens, you know. But yeah. So I've watched a few bits and bobs as well. I've been doing a bit of a Quentin Tarantino fix and stuff, so watched a lot of that. Watched the new Roadhouse, quite funny.
And, Roadhouse.
Nothing to do with the original, which is fantastic. Just pure cheese on toast. Conor McGregor is great. I watched Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. I imagine we all did, didn't we?
No.
Yes.
Bastards.
Two out of three. Yeah. It's got some fun bits in it. Some ghosts.
Has it?
One-liners. I hope everyone enjoyed it. It's fucking bombed big time. So, but yeah, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, still out now.
It's made the money.
It's made money.
It,
last time I checked, it was like 85 million.
Oh, only 85 million.
Mate, that's a fucking flop.
Okay.
These days, if it hasn't done fucking half a bill. Worldwide box office. Ghostbusters hasn't even hit 100 million yet on its first weekend. Fucking bullshit.
That's half term next week. Don't you worry.
Yeah. Well, Godzilla's out. Everyone be watching that.
Will they? Right.
Yeah, so I watched that. What else did I watch? What's the thriller today called? It's not popped up on Netflix. Cat Person. Everyone heard of that? Remember that trailer, Matt? We thought it was really fucking weird. It was like,
check your letterbox just before I come on here, Paul, and it does just look slightly porny. Just going to say that from its picture.
It's not as porny as I thought it was going to be.
I've got to check this now.
Right. So Cat Person was the one.
Oh, that's porny.
With Nicholas Braun and Emilia Jones. And it was like, they were going out on a date and he was like a really bad kisser. They sleep together and he ends up sort of stalking her. He's just like a really, really tall, weird guy. But nothing really happens until it's a lot of it's in her head and stuff like that. So it's a weird one.
So did you actually watch anything to do with horror?
That was a thriller. So no, apart from Ghostbusters. No, I've just been light, mate. Been light on the ground, I'm afraid.
Jordan Paul?
Oh, well, I did watch a couple of bits and bobs. I thought I was well sort of prepared, so I watched all my films quite early this week, and then I sort of tailed off. But I watched, let's get the shit one out of the way first, Scooby-Doo. bless my five-year-old son, bought it at like a bring-and-buy sale thing, because he thought it was great buying a DVD, and bought the Scooby-Doo film. Now, I hate Scooby-Doo as a cartoon, but I watched it with him, the film, and yeah, it's shit. What I never realised is James Gunn wrote it.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, is crazy. But yeah, I just thought it was crap, basically. And then I watched an Asian... so I went back into Shudder to try and find another... to unearth another gem for you guys. Like The Medium. But I watched a film called Impetigore. Which is... Indonesian film, and it's a bit of a folk horror mat, so I think you quite like it.
Yeah.
And it's got a fantastic first 10 minutes, right? it's the first 10 minutes of the film, I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And it gets a bit boring, but then there's some really sort of graphic scenes in it, which are quite cool. So if you have got a spare couple hours, then yeah, definitely watch it, because it's one to talk about anyway. But yeah, it's on Shudder, Impetigore. And then the last thing I watched, and Matt's probably going to talk about this as well, so I don't really want to go into too much detail.
Oh, no, you go ahead. You go ahead.
All right, okay. Is on Shudder, that dropped, I think it dropped this week on Shudder, so I'll give it a go. You'll Never Find Me. Which I quite enjoyed, Matt.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's a slow burn, but the payoff's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
I think it's very clever.
Yeah, it goes off the deep end right at the end, doesn't it? I don't know if 100% sticks it in my head. That was I was a bit like, oh, a bit confused, but yeah.
The acting's brilliant, I thought.
Jesus. Considering there's only two real main actors and they play off.
It's an Aussie one as well, Butch.
It's a what?
It's Aussie.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
It's definitely worth a watch, but it's really tense. The whole film is really, really tense, and then it ramps up really, 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 really quickly. So it's, yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. Then, yeah.
Very good.
The bigger discussion. And then, apart from the films I watched, that was it.
Yeah, well, I watched that, and that I thought it was very good. But I also watched, it's from a while ago, I don't know if either of you boys watched it in the end, but the BBC drama of the Enfield Poltergeist. Did you guys catch that at all?
I haven't seen it, no.
Do you know what? I just thought, the other day it just popped up and I was just like, do you know what? I'm gonna watch an episode of it. It's really clever because what it does, it takes the actual audio from what was taken from the actual event and they get actors in and they kind of like mouth the audio, but it's synced really, really well. The actors are brilliant. So they've made a whole TV series on it, and it's really good.
Creepy?
It shows you loads more. Like, obviously, you've got The Conjuring 2, which is the story Hollywooded up. But this is, like, it's really interesting because there's loads more stuff they didn't cover about everything, that how they got to the case and what happened and other things that happened. And it's like, I can't believe, like, the shit happened without anything more happening, because it's just so many people witnessed it. It's just insane. I really want to go and visit the house as well and see it.
I come with.
Yeah, let's do a day trip.
Episode there. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, so that was good. I watched obviously Ghostbusters like you, Butch. So I saw that, and I think that's about it for me.
Whew. Pretty light. Let's move on to the news. Anyone got any?
I'm gonna go before you guys go. Alien Romulus teaser trailer. Get in my face. Okay.
Yes. What to say about that?
Well, the first thing to say is Fede Alvarez has come out and said all the creatures in the film are practical effects.
Oh.
Boom.
Boo. Come on. I mean, the trailer's got me by the short and curlies. It looks like a mixture of, I said to you boys, I thought, like, it reminded me of the fact that in, like, Aliens, where they had, like, Newt's, the downturn of Newt's, like, society colony, if you like, a movie based on, like, that. That's what it kind of feels like. It feels like there's a lot of people and a lot of stuff.
This is set between Alien and Aliens. So I think, I think that this is whatever is happening in this in between bit is going to lead on to what happens at Newt's homeworld. I reckon this is the kind of little story why that happened. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting it wrong, but
it just looks like a lot of carnage, man. Fucking yeah. Right. In space. Fucking there seems to be machine guns. Mixture between the horror and the fucking. Yeah, I'm all for it.
I like what they've done with the face huggers in the trailer. They become a bit more of a, I don't know, a bit, they look like proper nasty bastards in the trailer, you know, like jumping through doors and
yeah,
you know, that scene in Aliens, which is one of the creepiest scenes in the film, where the huggers are like flying around and that you get a little bit of the sort of velocity of it, but this one, fuck me, that face like it just takes a person off the feet. It's yeah.
Apparently, I've heard things about it's more horror than anything.
Nice.
So
it's,
I think
it's just that scene, that scene in the second one with like when they like had the it was the one hugger in the room and it was stalking her, and he let it happen and stuff like that. It was just like that was dark, something like that. Be cool. Yeah, very cool. Looking forward to that. I haven't got anything. I haven't got no news apart from that. That was it. That's all I saw.
One thing I will talk about really quickly that I forgot to talk about in the what we've seen. Are you guys up to date with X-Men 97 yet?
I've watched the first episode.
First two.
Episode three, boys. Watch it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to tell you anything else.
I don't watch like it. How jolly Cyclops is.
Just watch the episode three. Next episode, we'll talk about it because I ain't going to say anything. But all I can say is horror.
Oh, my God. Well, look, it's my favorite ever cartoon, the original. So
it's amazing. Yeah. Look, this first episode, meh. Second episode's getting better. Third episode, fucking yes.
All right, okay. I'll give it a chance because I'm getting a bit annoyed. I was a bit annoyed with episode one, to be honest, which turned me off. I didn't like how the characters, they changed all the characters around. Pissed me off a little bit.
I'm all in.
Invincible, however, is back on. And I did watch the latest three episodes of that. It's sort of like season two was a bit, not bland, but there was something not right, not compared to the first one. The last three episodes have been fucking ace. They're really, really up to sort of gore, violence. Oh my God, some of the fucking, yeah, there's some heart-wrenching moments in it as well. It's fucking
I need to go back to that. I watched the first two episodes of season two, and not that I was not enjoying it, but it sort of hasn't grabbed me enough to go back to, if that makes sense. So
I you have to really persevere, but these last three episodes have been fucking spanking, man. So definitely worth it. I think they've corrected some mistakes that they made.
All right, they like come, man, they wanna go home. Beetlejuice. Oh my God, guys, like, it just, again, do you know when you just watch something, you think, look, I'm going to go in with my expectations set very, very low, but just the sight of Michael Keaton in his garb, all dressed up, and I just can't wait to hear what comes out of his mouth. All in for it, so it looks really good.
Yeah, bring it on. The teaser looks great. Loved it. Again, bit of nostalgia, so hope they do it the right way.
Glad of course.
Yeah, man.
And then the last thing, have you guys seen the Spider-Man short on YouTube?
No.
Not yet. I've heard good things about it, though.
Spider-Man short, what the fuck is that?
So, the Spider-Man, the Spider Within, it's a 7-minute short film. Basically, it's just like an add-on to Across the Universe, or Into the Spider-Verse. Same animation, same actor, the lot. I'm not going to say anything about it, guys, but for 7 minutes.
Even that 7 minutes probably took him about a year to make, because that's how long it takes.
It probably did, but I watched it with my littlins today, and it scared the shit out of them. Just going to say. Oops. And I went, oh, that's why I mentioned it on the pod.
All right. I'll give that a watch afterwards, man. Unless you give me 7 minutes now.
That's all it takes you, 7 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah. not that long. All right, Claire, is that all the news we've got?
Yep.
All out.
All right. Let's move on to this main review.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hello? I know God saved me for a reason, but I guess I'm still searching for what that reason is.
Too much blood of Christ.
It's a miracle. You are with child.
Out of all the women in the world, how can we trust what's inside you?
suffering. This love.
No one ever needs
suffering. 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 This love.
Okay, so this week's main review, we've all been to the cinema to see Immaculate. Okay, so the latest film to see star Sydney Sweeney, who is everywhere at the moment. She plays Cecilia, a woman of devout faith. She is warmly welcomed to the picture-perfect Italian countryside, where she is offered a new role at an illustrious convent. But it becomes clear to Cecilia that her new home harbours dark and horrifying secrets. So, lads, I saw this before you, which is a bit of a turn off of the books, because I got a nice little preview screening at my cinema. And there was about 5 or 6 people in there. And, yeah, I came out of it and I was like, Jesus, I wish the I wanted to speak about it straight away. So, guys, what did you think?
Well, I had Paul Thomas literally text me on the same night. As you obviously watching the same show in, I guess, the Cineworld.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. And, yeah, he just couldn't stop raving about it and telling me to go and see it. So obviously we had to go and see it and we were going to go and see it. Oh, God, this movie, man. I think the movie was like pacing was spot on. There were some great jump scares, some great gore.
Come on, gee up that voice. I don't want to hear a miserable voice. Come on, Paul. Give us some more.
This was fucking great.
It was fucking cracking. Finally, yeah. We get some good horror.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is what I've been waiting for.
So this film is like a tale of two halves, right? So we'll break the plot down in a bit, but it was like a studio film. And for the first half an hour, 45 minutes, guys, I was like, this is another one. It's a fucking other one. It's going to just peter out into nothing. And then the last half of the film just descended into some art house fucking gore fest. And I was like, what's happened to this film? It's just gone into absolute craziness all of a sudden. And it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And how they got away with that, I have no idea, for it being a studio film.
Very brave. Very brave.
Distributed by Neon. Neon, an independent film company, so
they're cracking them out.
Like, yeah, it's really like very indie. I read some interesting stuff on this. It's like Sydney Sweeney like had the script from like 2014 and wanted it then, and she bought it, and that's why she's got producer rights on it. So she wanted this, and she fucking gave us a fucking great performance as like Sister Cecilia.
Cecilia. Yeah.
Well, I mean, at the start, you obviously get introduced to this convent and you get this nun who's running away and you don't really know why, then chased down by some shadowy figures. And then, like, just when you think she might get away, basically break her leg in half through a gate. It's like, ooh, well, that sets the tone for this quite nicely, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was, and then it was sort of like, I don't know, it felt, obviously it's set in Italy and it was sort of very, I don't know, very Italian to sort of start with, the tone, the pace, and it did move on, but it was sort of just like almost Suspiria level pace and little goings on here and there, fucking prolonged creaky doors that just wouldn't stop fucking creaking.
That was creaking. The creakiest door I've ever heard. I looked at you, you know, and I laughed because it's just like, it's like, now enter creaky door. Yeah. But it was like 5 feet long. I was like, are you kidding me?
But the moments of like dread and terror and sort of like the leads up to like some real, like, you know, those jump scares that sort of we know are coming were done very cleverly and done very well. And sort of like from what you thought was probably in the shadows wasn't. I mean, the set was fucking amazing. Like where it was actually set, really good. And like the sort of like propping up cast behind it, all the nuns was fantastic and stuff like that. Sort of what they, I guess, like the whole place is like, that she's gone. She sort of left her sister Cecilia, has left America. She's come to, Italy. She doesn't really speak much Italian. She's going to take her vows there. And, there's, you know, you get the odd knobhead. It's a bit like Annie at the start. She sort of feels like a bit of an orphan. You know, I was expecting a breakout song or something like any minute. But they, she's there to, like, you know, wipe asses basically, and sort of, you know, we get to sort of see what the nuns' life's about, with these old nuns making their lives better towards the end. It was interesting. And then, and then.
Yeah, you get kind of that, like a Jurassic Park storyline then sort of develops, doesn't it?
Where... Do you know, originally, when she picked up the script 10 years ago, when she auditioned for it, it was going to be set in Ireland, and it was about a 16-year-old in a school. But they completely changed it. Obviously, they had to move it on, and they kind of changed it to obviously be a nun and stuff.
So what are we saying? This is a nunsploitation movie, or just like a...
100%. It's got nunsploitation all over it, man.
100%. And then, like, it's got a bit of touch of Rosemary's Baby about it as well. I suppose the main thing about it is it's obviously, like, all immaculate. You know, there's a so-called immaculate conception. You know, suddenly she's had a baby. She's pregnant. And, like,
how did that happen?
That's the thing that sort of, like, it was a bit... Yeah, I was thinking, where's the turkey baster, you know? Like, when's that going to come about?
She got basted on the night where she basted. A bit of basting on the
is
night
that,
where she...
Is that the terminology?
Well, I mean, can you think of anything else? Oh, she got inseminated.
Artificially inseminated.
Well, so, yeah, so you sort of... Obviously, the story is she's... Basically, she finds, like, this secret crypt in the convent, and there's like a nun on the floor, and then she finds, basically, she gets explained that it's part of a ritual that they're doing for, there's an old rusty nail in a cabinet, and it's basically, you find out that it's supposed to be the nail, one of the nails that Jesus was nailed up to on the cross. And then she has a bit of a weird sort of episode. She faints, wakes up the next day, and then she goes about her business. They're sort of trying to find out what's wrong with her, and do loads of tests on her, and then she gets called to the office, and where they ask a lot of questions, which I thought was a really good scene. It was really tense, where they're like, look, have you ever been with a man? And they're like, she doesn't really know what she's... And then she's like, no, I'm a virgin. And they're like, oh my God. And they're saying, like, creepy things, like her hymen's intact and all that type of stuff. But, she's pregnant.
That scene, though, it's like, they're quite good actors. I mean, I don't know if they're all in on it, or is it just...
Oh, they're all in on it.
Yeah, they're all in on it.
They make it very, very obvious. I mean, not obvious. I mean, they're very good actors when they've got her in that room, because they make her almost believe it herself. It's just like, how? Yeah. It's like...
It's interesting, because up to that point, she comes across very innocent. She's got, like, this sister, Isabella, who's been a bit of a cunt towards her and stuff like that. You know, giving her a bit of a lambasting, very jealous of her and all that sort of stuff. I don't know, and then, like, that the Immaculate Conception and the description of it, and it's like, it's no Rosemary's Baby. We don't really know. There's a brief dream, but maybe, you know, how it sort of happens. But I'm like, I've sort of toiled with this. Like, do I give a shit? I suppose it happens, not really, because what actually happens?
You just wanted to see the turkey baster, didn't you?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, the gist of it is that they've got Jesus' DNA, and they've been, like, perfecting it over the years, and trying to get loads of nuns pregnant, and trying to get them sort of, you know, to have the second coming of Jesus, basically, and then dress it up as it is, the Immaculate Conception and all this type of stuff. And they see themselves as still doing God's work. They're just trying to bring on the second coming of Christ, essentially, to save the world. That's what they believe they're doing.
Yeah, and well, I guess what's not explained, and I think this is yet to sort of read between the lines, is that obviously she drowned when she was younger and dead for 7 minutes. We find that out eventually, and there's some stuff in a red folder about her, and you can see some genetic code and all that sort of stuff. So they might have done, it looks like maybe they've done their own work, and she's like kind of a bit of a match, or what they feel, because he's like the deacon's led to be, we get to kind of hear, okay, he was a biologist at one point, so there's a bit of science here and there, but it's not dwelled upon.
I think also what's clever as well, what's also clever is that obviously they picked their people quite well, because obviously, like they explained at the start, about they take in a lot of broken birds, so it's kind of like they look at their background and are these people susceptible to be believing that they could, this could actually happen. And they take these vulnerable people and then they do this to them. And obviously they've done it time after time, as we get, as gets revealed in the catacombs.
Mm, I never really feel that she did fully embrace the fact. I don't, she never really thought, she obviously knew that she'd never, you know, but I don't know, there was something that she was almost like fearful of what had happened, really. Like,
she knows it wasn't right.
Yeah.
She, like, I think the moment you see that is when she, the one scene she comes, you know, she wakes up at night. And one thing I will say is they don't give a fuck what they're doing, what time or how loud it is. We're in a nunnery with about 500,000 nuns. And they're literally, she comes across a stable and they're like literally torturing one of her friends that's gone a bit crazy.
Gwendolyn, yeah, something like that. Yeah, well, she's basically...
I think that's the moment, isn't it? That's the moment where she's like, this is fucked.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to sister, the other one's suicide.
So look, this...
Very omen-esque.
Yeah. I wasn't sure which one this was, whether it was her friend or the one that was angry at her.
I'm pretty sure it's Isabella, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But I did not know until the other nun turned up, and I was like, oh, it's not that one. I can, it was a bit like, because she's so mashed up, you can't really tell.
Yeah, she was like a rejected specimen, essentially, or she wasn't happening for her, so they just moved on. So that's why she treated her like an absolute twat at the start. But yeah, her suicide, man, was, oh my God, like...
It's a bit Midsummer, I thought. Like, it was very, it was that sort of shock moment, you know. I didn't expect them to turn the body over and to see that. And I was like, whoa, okay, this, that sort of movie. It's the movie that, you know, it does things where you, it sort of throws you. I like that.
Reminded me a bit of The Omen as well.
Mm.
Like, it's all for you, Damon.
There was definitely nods to a few bits. And, you know, that.
When she's really pregnant. And she's just about to sort of, you know, give birth. And then she pulls a bit of a stunt on them, which was fucking genius. But if you're going to do this, hide the chicken.
choke the chicken.
Do you know what? I thought it was brilliant. I thought that scene where, obviously, she pretends that she's had, like, a miscarriage or there's bleeding. And you know, they don't know what to do. They're trying to keep her in the convent because they don't want to get her out. Because, obviously, by this time, she knows what's going on. So they're sort of keeping her in and in and in. And then they realise, hang on, obviously, the nuns are... Because, essentially, this is baby Jesus. So they're like, right, well, you can't let the baby die. So you're going to have to take her to hospital. So the priest, the main priest, and just a driver, is it? Or his little crony. Take her to the... Or drive her to the hospital. Well, they never get there because obviously the nun, which is a bit of a weird scene, lads, when she's like praying for the baby, but then stuffs the bloody sheet into her face. It's a bit wrong. But then, yeah, she finds a chicken and then phones the priest. And that bit of slow-mo where he's just looking at her and she's like still trying to act as if she's in loads of pain and stuff. It's just brilliant. Just really, really good.
Yeah, I liked that bit. I liked it. I did guess it, though. I was like, yeah, I know what she's doing. So it's like, I just knew it straight away. A bit annoyed with myself for that, but it was good. It's a nice little twist bit. Like, she just knows she ain't gonna get away from this.
And she tries though. I mean, she can run quite fast for a heavily pregnant woman.
Yeah.
I thought she got quite far and then realised that actually she didn't. It was very clever though. she didn't get that.
I think
far.
If the camera panned out like to a wide shot, the priest would probably just be walking and she'd be like running.
He'd
be like,
waddles off.
Yeah. Don't have to run, lads.
But then, guys, she's about to give birth, essentially. It just goes, I thought it just went completely balls deep into like a spectacular gore fest.
I mean, the transition's quite fast, though. I mean, from what you obviously, the time jump has got to be, you know, within like eight or 9 months. The transition's got to be 8 or 9 months, so you don't really see what goes on much between them. But she's just turned into this complete badass from being like the most probably nicest person on the planet to being absolutely raged with hate for these
Mother
people.
Superior gets it. Doesn't she?
Yeah, big time. And I didn't expect them to go into that level of sort of brutality. And the next, as it keeps going, escalates and escalates. And it's, yeah, she just completely loses her innocence.
She,
and that's,
she turns into John Wick.
Well, it's kind of like the thing inside her is, it, you know, we don't, we've, you know, we know we've got to say there was something, there was a bit of exposition earlier, was something behind a bit of a picture. And, you know, it was some kind of, I don't know what the revelations, I don't know, something Corinthian or something. She read it and it was like, this thing's either good or evil, basically. And I think she thinks the latter because she's losing teeth and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, so she wants it kind of gone, I think. And, you know, as all this stuff's happening, she's, water's breaking, you know, she's fucking, she's having contractions. She's fucking superwoman, in a nunnery, you know, and there's some just, there's a bit in it, like, I kind of want likened to Pearl in her performance and stuff like that, when she was screaming at the camera and stuff like that, towards the end.
Oh, that's the very end, yeah.
Oh, I mean, it just went, and it, like the creaky door, it just kept on going, and they sort of just, I don't know, they didn't take that sort of beat away from it, they sort of let it go longer than most, I guess productions are like comfortable with. They left you very uncomfortable, and I kind of really like that. I really like the fact that they went, because it didn't. It started squirming.
I like the fact as well. She killed them with their own faith. She obviously kills the nun with the cross. She kills the priest with the rosary beads. Very, very clever. I liked it. One guy she didn't get though is the helper. Where's he gone? He disappeared, didn't he?
He was
creepy. Very creepy.
But yeah. the birth at the end, the baby, making, all we got to see was kind of hear was creepy noises. What do we think? What do we think is happening at the end there?
It didn't sound, it did, the baby didn't cry. And it was, I think it was.
Sounds something. Like a fucking monster.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Lick me. I think you were supposed to think, like, I think you were supposed to think that it was like a Rosemary's Baby devil child.
Devil baby.
But I just thought, I was sat there thinking, they're not going to do this. They're not going to let this happen. Something's about to happen where she's about to get shot or she's going to have a change of heart and it's going to flash forward 10 years and she's got fucking Damien running around with her or something.
I did think that it was going to shoot to her just carrying the baby. I wonder if they did shoot two different endings, to be fair.
Well, fair play to them, man, because like Butch says, that exactly hit the nail on the head with that scream. The scream, it left it just long enough for you to become very, very uncomfortable very, very, very quickly.
Wow, your wife had two children, right?
Yeah.
And to be fair to her, I don't think Sydney Sweeney's got any kids, but I was like, that is very passable for a fucking pregnant woman. Screaming.
But just I don't know if we should say it just in case everyone wants to go and say it, but like what happens is just pure brutality.
Yeah.
You may say that, but is it?
Well, yeah, again, what an ending. What an ending.
Up to you to decide, I suppose.
Which I love. I loved it. I just thought it was so good at the end. I just thought, fucking hell. And literally, it was one of them where, you know, when you go see a film and then the credits roll and then nobody gets up straight away.
Yeah, it's very somber. That. Very somber.
Like, what the hell? It was very, very good.
Very, very good. I like this one. Well, what would you do if you were buried alive? Because there was obviously a bit at the beginning of being buried alive in here. Is that a good way to go?
No.
I don't know. Could you just close your eyes and just like?
I don't know whether what would come first, whether you would starve to death or whether you'd suffocate to death. I suppose it. How far you are under there, I suppose. But I think you would suffocate eventually. I think.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't. You use all the oxygen up with a fucking lighter as well.
I think I'd be at peace quite quickly with that. I know you'd suffocate, but I think I'd quite like that.
Freak out first.
Well, that could be the next something to scream about.
Yeah, we can try it out. We can try it.
Or would you kill Bill? One inch punch it like Kill Bill. It reminded me of that, so I had to watch a bit of Kill Bill this week, so. Because she like punches away. This is a great, this is made, you know, there's been a few boobs this year. This is not a boob. This is good. This is good work. I enjoyed this lot. There had a lot to do with that. The acting, the pacing, yeah. Jugs. That was really good.
Nearly got through the whole review.
I knew you wouldn't get it. I knew it.
The director, Michael Mohan, is like done some other work with her as well. So he also did The Voyeurs of Her, which is like a little bit of a sort of 90s thriller, if you like. Quite famous because she gets completely butt wild naked in it. So with Matey Boy from EastEnders.
Oh, God.
Any of you boys want to go and check that out?
Herb Lottery.
Or girls.
Or Butcher.
Equal. We're all equal. So.
Right, what do you want to rate it?
This is a high one for me. A 9. And yeah, I'm happy. I'm comfortable with giving this one a 9.
I would give it an 8. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Took a little while to get on, but it was brave at the end. But yeah, definitely an 8 for me.
I agree with Matt. I was going to go 8.
Yeah.
8. And it wasn't fucking shite. I really enjoyed it.
I'll watch it again.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. But I suppose the drop marks, right, are just the fact I thought it was a bit pain by numbery at the start. Mm. And I did think I was just going to watch another one to be let down. And the right reason it then pulled itself up was just the last 45 minutes, which is fucking incredible.
yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
So, yeah. But yeah, 10's great. All right. Really, really good. 10 off of the books. So,
Drawing last breath, 8 out of 10. Lovely job. Lovely job. Good work.
Right, let's get on with our Something to Scream About. What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go?
I set everyone a little bit of homework for this episode. So, something to scream about. I thought we'd do something silly, like draw some stuff out of a hat again, go off, do some homework, based on just a little bit of, what are we calling it? Like a topic or just a word or just a association. See how everyone interpreted, the word, which was, shapes. That was what I gave everyone. Be interesting to see how everyone has actually interpreted that. So, who wants to start? Let's start with Matt. Let's go on. Let's start with you, dude.
So, I don't know how you're going to interpret it, but I thought about it and I thought, well, I'm going to go and rewatch a film that I've seen already. But I really liked it. I thought it was very clever. So I thought I'd go and watch it again. It's from 2018 and it's called Life Changer. So it's about basically a shape shifter.
So
I interpreted it as like, so this thing, this guy who's kind of like trapped in this body, and he kind of is moving around, but he has to the body will, like whatever body he goes into, basically has an expiry date, so he has to get out of it at a point and transfer himself into another kind of body. But around it, there's kind of a bit of a love story around it as well. But yeah, I thought it was really clever because I just find it really interesting how, you know, shape-shifting is very interesting to me and very kind of, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Futuristic-y? I don't know. But yeah, I saw it as that. So
nice.
If you could shapeshift into anyone, who would you shapeshift into?
Jennifer Lawrence. Didn't even have to think about it.
what would you do with yourself? Okay. I'd
make really good movies.
Sure.
Not those sort of movies, Paul, but just...
Imagine that. Jennifer Lawrence just suddenly starts doing porn.
Well, no, I really liked it because it's really clever, because he asked the kind of... The movie's cool as well, because the effects, there's a lot of practical effects, and when he transfers over to the body, he has to grab him, and like all this shit starts happening, and it's fucking weird. And yeah, it's got a bit of a twist to it as well. But yeah, I'd go check it out. It premiered at Fright Fest a few years back. It was received really well there, and the artwork's really cool as well. If you go and look at it, it becomes nice. You, life changer.
Good work, man. All right, that's a cool interpretation, Mr. Stevens. Geordie Paul, how did you interpret this?
Well, it was quite easy. Whenever you said shapes, this film just suddenly popped into my head. So I was like, well, there you go. I've decided straight away. So it's a bit of a link to shapes, but nevertheless, there are shapes in it. So I went for a film that I've also seen before. And I've only ever seen it once. Yeah. And it is from 2002. And it is M. Night Shyamalan's Signs.
All right. Okay, so you sort of gone down the symbol sort of route.
The shapes are the crop circles, yes. Yeah.
Very cool.
As soon as you said it, it popped into my head, and I thought, you know what, I haven't seen it for donkeys, so I'm going to watch it. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I love that film.
I remember the first time I watched it, and I remember, obviously, I think it was hot off the back of, like, Sixth Sense and Unbreakable and stuff, so I was like... expecting something sort of life-changing again, I think, and I didn't quite get on board with it. But watching it again, I still think there's a ton of shitty CG in it. Like, the end, Aliens, is still a bit wanky, but it's not as wanky as I remember. I forgot how funny it is. It's actually quite a comedic film. Like, layered with a bit of horror and dread as well, and obviously a family dealing with grief. I just thought it was brilliant. I thought it was really, really, really good.
Mate, that bit where the news flash with the... that was harrowing, man. That fucking... Yeah,
it fucking shivers up this one.
Yeah. Whoa. I like that I forgot about the fingers under the door.
It's the Grinch.
Yeah. But the bit where they're running around, where they think it's the like neighbours like terrorising them, and it's obviously the alien, and the run around the house shouting... And Mel Gibson's like, I'm very angry with you. I'm going to kick your ass. And like, Joaquin Phoenix is amazing in it as well. So, yeah, no, I just thought it was really, really good. And like I said, I forgot how funny it is. So that was my interpretation. But
I liked it.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, I've gone very literal. I immediately thought of a title of a movie. And it was Triangle. With Mr. George. However, when I looked for the movie Triangle, I found a movie that came up that said The Triangle. So I started watching it. And then about 10 minutes in, I realized this isn't a Melissa George film, Triangle, when they're on a boat. So I ended up watching a movie called, which I hadn't seen before, called The Triangle, which is about...
Is it about a triangle?
It's about a cunt thing.
It's about a commune, sort of like a commune out in the desert, and they invite these documentarians. They invite three people. I think one of their mates invites three people to shoot a documentary based on what they're doing, and they don't really understand why they're there, and it's sort of like a bit, you know, mockumentary style with their cameras. And they start getting involved, and then you realize that they're next to this cave. There's this weird fucking sound that keeps on giving them like a bit. They've had like the reason sort of they all got together was the fact that they all seem to have the same dream, basically. It's a bit, remind me a bit like Endless, that sort of thing. It's just like very, the way it was shot.
Sounds like Dreamcatcher. Is it Dreamcatcher?
No, it's called The Triangle. That's what it's called. And it's set in the desert. It's not like it's set in the snow. But it's like they end up, the noise, it's like almost like they got this like fucking skull, this dinosaur skull in this cave, and one of the teeth is glowing, and it's setting off this weird sound, and they all start getting nosebleeds, throwing up and all sorts of weird stuff. It's just bonkers and stupid and not very good, but also kind of
that's sounding weird.
But you know, it was all right. I'd never seen it before. Not, it's just like Endless. It's just weird stuff happens. It's hard to explain. Just every now and again, they just catch stuff on camera, and then Osborne right the fuck at the end. They all fucking end up naked, walking towards the cave, and they all just fucking disappear. So I don't know what was happening. It was fucking weird.
However, the Melissa George Triangle version film is brilliant.
I know. I love that. I didn't bother watching it because I'd watched this one now. I was like, well, I do. That was fucking weird. So yeah, the Triangle. Oh, it's 2016, so it's relatively new. Whereas like Triangle, the other one was older than that. So yeah, it's good. There you go. So I watched something really new. So well, that's interesting though. We all did that. I thought Evan would come back. Like I was thinking, you could go and watch The Cube, or
I was for sure one of you was going to watch a Halloween film.
Yeah, that's been quite funny.
I thought that was, I think that was quite obvious.
Yeah, I'm glad everyone interpreted it differently. Do we want to do it again?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
you're up for it again? Okay, now I've got to come up with fucking something else. Okay, looks like I'm going to pull out the moon.
Okay.
Moon. You could go anywhere with this. So.
M-O-O-N.
Remember, try and think outside the box. Don't go for the straightforward one. So, beware the moon. All right, cool. We're happy with that. Next episode, a bit of homework. Let's go and find a movie that we can reflect back with the moon.
Ooh, like it.
All right, cool. Right, let's move on to our movie from the vault.
There was an opening here once.
Every house has its secrets, but this secret has waited 150 years to get out.
Those old bones from your attic turned out to be his wife and kid.
I don't understand your fixation with those bones. And not just the bones, your dreams.
Where are the ghosts, Kate? There's one now. Look, there's another one.
I think we ought to bring her in for observation.
Kay Christopher and her son, Jason, have uncovered something so ungodly, so inhuman, even if she can find the power to defy it, even if they can find the courage to confront it, it may be too late.
David, just let us go.
The force that can save their lives could shatter their minds, scared stiff.
This episode's movie from the vault, I picked out of the bag, and it's 1987's Scared Stiff. Did this make you stiff, or did this turn you off? All I can do is apologise.
I like this.
Here's the synopsis. Strange visions come to haunt a singer when her son and her psychiatric-turned boyfriend move into an old colonial house that is haunted by the ghost of a ruthless slave owner.
Was that what it's about?
Hang on, what was it called?
Scared Stiff.
I see, I watched Bored Stiff.
Yeah.
I've been holding on that for far too long.
All I can say is, TV movie at best. Well, when I picked this, I saw the trailer, and the trailer looked awesome, I'm telling you. And this just shows you what some of the movies of the 80s were portrayed as.
Poster looks good.
The artwork to the VHS is amazing as well.
But, okay. This is another House with a Past movie. It was funny. I thought it was that made me chuckle because what we've been saying about Night Swim, what we've been saying about Imaginary, and then you do this, and it's another House with a Past movie, isn't it? It's sort of somehow you've managed to match tropes again.
It would have been great. It would have been great to have scenes with Night Swim, wouldn't it? Yeah.
What the fuck am I watching at the start? Fucking so much racism at the start. I did not. I was like, what have you made us watch?
It's uncomfortable, wasn't it? It was uncomfortable.
And then so I thought, okay, this is a revenge movie for what they did in the past. Nope. Not that at all. Okay, what are we getting? Ghost from the past? Not really.
Was it mental illness film? Not really.
Domestic violence, maybe? There's some interesting... I tell you what, there were some interesting themes running throughout.
Now you think about it, yeah, mother
doctors shagging their patients.
Yeah. Nice mixture of practical effects and the really cheesy computer graphics, which is always fun to watch. It reminded me towards the end. Okay, there was a great sequence which is worth talking about. But most of this was pretty shite. The mother, I can't even fucking remember her name.
It took fucking ages to get into it, though.
It really, really fucking did.
The mum was called Kate, yes.
So, yeah, Kate, played by Mary Page Keller. And we get, obviously, it's sort of centred around her, I guess. He's dating a patient, Dr. David Young, played by Andrew Stevens. Is that a relation?
No, it's Dirty Andrew Stevens, though. Dirty Andrew Stevens, the erotic film star.
Oh, yeah.
And may I add as well, he was an executive producer for Boondock Saints.
Ledge.
Well, he's produced loads of shit, though. He's produced. He's probably
All Nine Yards. Yeah, loads of stuff.
But this was trash. Like, a lot of it was...
but this was trash.
A lot of this was trash. But there is some charm in there. Like we said about following Kate in her sort of... She's... I don't know. I didn't see anything wrong with him. I thought their relationship was quite stable. I guess it's a case like Amityville Horror where he's being manipulated by the house, maybe. Or is her mental health not gone? Because he's dating a patient, which has got to be some ethical thing there. And they're all moving in. And he sort of gets a bit grumpy every now and again because he got way too grumpy with the fact that he's supposed to be a psychiatric doctor, and I guess that was supposed to be the influence of the house, maybe, I don't know. But there was a great sequence in this, forget all the crap and the trash. The sort of like, when she goes into the house, it reminded me of House. Like all the fucking practical monsters and all those cool sort of sequences. Was fucking great. There's like a really good stuff. Yeah, some really good stuff in there, but surrounded by a load of chuff and
Again, it reminded me of Imaginary when she was going through the doors and going into different things. Again, I think they could have done more with it, but
Who came up with the idea that pigeons are scary? By the way, just saying.
Pigeons are scary. That was scary.
I genuinely thought for the first half an hour it was going to be a film about scary pigeons.
Yeah, pigeons, not sure why they were in about. The painter was dead for about 5 days before he fucking bust through a window.
I mean, yeah, do you know what, right? I'm not the most observant of folk, right? But if someone was hung outside my house dead, right? I'd like to think I'd notice them at least a week after they fucking died.
That's the thing.
She was like, ooh, it smells around here.
Well, then, when she turned up from getting ice cream with the little boy, I was like, oh, so he's found the dead bodies in the attic, and the man's, how are they going to explain that, and the man hanging off the ladder? But it didn't. They just came to take the dead bodies in the loft away.
Yeah, that was weird.
How did they not see this guy?
Now, this is classic in this as well, with most of these sort of old movies. Okay, so, dead bodies are found in the attic. All right, you've just moved into a house, and then the husband or whatever is like, well, can't move out because I've put all my money in this. If your partner, right, approached you after you found dead bodies in an attic, would you probably be okay to move? Would you accept that as a reasonable to get out, or would you just say, nah, got all our money tied up in his house, we'll probably want to crack on, love? I'm just not sure how that conversation would go down. He brushed it off, didn't he? But
well, I mean, he's probably been manipulated by the house then, Paul.
I am thinking, like, in practical terms, if I bought this house and it turned out to be dead bodies in the attic, I'd probably go to the estate agent and try and get my money back on another and get another.
A bit of a refund, more like.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what was misused in this film, which is crazy for this film in the 80s. They misused the little boy completely. I mean, he was a terrible, terrible actor.
He was the worst child actor I've ever seen, Matthew.
Yeah. However, this may be why they didn't use him in much scenes, but I really thought there was going to be more about the boy seeing stuff and it being more of his point of view. But it wasn't at all. It was more like the mum's point of view. And
yeah.
And how didn't know what
the creepiest lamp in the world.
I think Stephen Dorff was
going to have that lamp in their room. Oh yes.
Yeah.
Make sure you bring him.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Stephen Dorff was the same age. I don't even utter
his name.
He was he's doing the gate around that time.
No.
This.
We also had generic policeman from the 80s as well. You know,
who loves TV.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going, man? Yeah, woo!
He was fighting with nutters in a nut job for his bit of sports. And we get the lovely thing. Does anyone know about cars? Do they just explode when they...
Yeah. I mean, like, let's avoid them. Do a flip. Just one flip, not like a massive amount of flips, and literally the car exploded.
Have we got a budget for a car explosion in this? Yeah, I reckon we can afford it.
Should we get rid of the babysitter? Yeah, just chuck her in the fountain. Don't explain why. Just put her in the fountain.
What the fuck? I was like, who's that? I was like, why is she in the fountain?
I fucking know. I don't know. It's like Spookies, Matt. It's just like...
Suppose they cut a scene out where the babysitter gets killed, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, or the babysitter was used to babysit because she didn't fucking babysit once. Am I right? We did not see her before she ended, before the fountain, right?
You just see one scene in the apartment. That's it.
Yeah. So there we go.
What was it? Was he trying to possess? What was happening? It, like, the colonial man, it was the evil one who'd obviously turned into some demon in the past. yeah. And then what was he trying to do? Was he trying to possess the family? Trying to get the love of his life back? What was going on?
I don't know.
But he got spears chucked at him from the other side of the other world. And they were a really good shot.
I like that, the little the practical effects and the monster at the end. I thought it was quite cool.
Yeah, however, I'm slagging this film off, right, lads, but the last 10 minutes of it, actually, I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
When it went crackers.
It was
like
right.
When it went for crackers, instead of it trying to be so fucking straight laced throughout the entire film, and then just went, it's almost like we've got a little bit, or we've got loads of, we spent on the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, we spunked it all on the practical effects, didn't it?
Just the brain zip. It was pretty fucking cool, man.
And I liked the when she finds the cop as well. I thought they could have used a bit more of that, but they only show him for 2 seconds and she runs out of the room.
I just think, yeah, you're right. It's like this movie was so dry and like for most of it, and then like that last 10 was just fucking spot on. But then you could say Malignant was kind of similar, you know. It's like the last 15 was so unique, and I guess this was the same in that respect.
I just think with this movie, I think it's like, again, I think probably too many people got involved. They rewrote and rewrote. They tore it to shreds. It got probably edited 1,000 times. There's probably loads of like stuff about it. I know for a fact that this movie, it's not actually in my Matt's fact, but this movie was lost for ages. And they did a lot of digging and remastering to get this to actually get it released.
I mean, again, another film that's title just doesn't match up to the film. Like, Scared Stiff.
I know. such an 80s thing, isn't it? Like, what can we call it to get people more interested in watching it? It's just like, because if you go, seriously, go and watch the trailer after this. And just because the trailer makes it, I was like, whoa, because they literally show the best bits. And that's it. And it's like, oh my God, I actually thought, oh, this looks like House. This could be a great little sleeper. But oh boy, was I wrong.
Brilliant.
So, do you want to hear some Matt's facts?
Hit us.
Okay. So, the owner of the mansion requested that they avoid damaging a very old expensive chandelier. The filmmakers obliged, took it down and locked it away for the duration of principal photography. At the end of the 9-week shoot, they went to rehang the chandelier, but found that somehow it had been smashed to pieces, even though the producer, Daniel F. Buccaneer, had the only key, and they had to send it out for repairs that cost them over $25,000. Maybe that might be why they had to take some bits out of the film. I don't know. Many of the film crew were locals from the crime drama TV series Miami Vice.
Okay.
The filmmakers rented the mansion for $25,000, funny enough, then convinced the owners to invest the money back into the production. Sounds a bit iffy, that one, if you ask me. This was one of the first films to feature an Apple II computer, although the filmmakers received no money from Apple. And may I add, that scene was absolute dog shit.
We've seen that sort of technology in other films, though, haven't we? A Lawnmower Man springs to mind.
Terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And at the end, the possessed Dr. Young falls out of the window to his death and somehow lands in the fountain several feet away.
That was funny.
Yeah, the filmmakers noticed this, but filmed the scene anyway and just hoped no one would notice.
Like fucking he falls vertically out the window and then he must have rolled into the fountain.
And then at the end of the film, symbolically, the evil is leaving the house by all the pigeons flying through the doors, where you can easily see loads of men just chucking pigeons out at the gaps of the windows. Yeah. Sorry. Nice. I can only apologise.
Oh, no, mate. Good 80s trash, mate. Loved it. In its own way.
Yeah.
Come on, then. Come on, the butcher's ratings. Go on.
I mean, 6 for me. No, it's all right. I'd recommend, you know, it's not. Just that last 10 minutes was just so much fun. I'm not going to give it low. I'm not going to give it an average score because of that. That was genuinely really fucking good. I can't knock those special effects. Yeah, 6 out of 10.
Butch, that's why I love you, mate. I'm going to go 3 because just for the last 10 minutes. And I can't give it higher than that.
Brutal.
Sorry. Bored stiff.
Bored stiff. This did not get me stiff at all. I think it's got to be like probably 4 out of 10 for me. It was just so boring. And it did ramp up towards the end, but it just wasn't enough.
Charm. That's the charm.
Charm. I don't know. It was TV fodder at best. Oh, it probably was meant for that, but hey.
It's better than Dead and Buried, so there we go.
No.
Dead and Buried's awesome. Anyway, enough of this tomfoolery. Whose pick is it next episode?
It is mine.
There we go. Mine.
Right, so. This pick, I don't think any of us have seen it at all. So this could be another scared stiff. So who knows? But it's from the 70s. It actually popped up on Facebook randomly, some random thing, like thing you might like. And I read a little bit of a blurb about it and I thought, you know what? I'm going to save this for a pick because it looks good. So it's on Shudder. It's from 1973 and it is called Messiah of Evil.
That sounds utter fucking garbage, but I've never heard of it.
Says the guy that just gets dead.
I know, Jesus Christ. Do you want me to give you a little blurb about it, get you salivating a bit?
Yes, please.
So a young woman goes searching for a missing artist's father. Her journey takes her to a strange Californian seaside town governed by a mysterious undead cult.
Where the fuck did you dig this back from?
I told you, it came up on Facebook and then it was on Shudder and I thought, why not? Fuck it.
Oh my god. Alright, it's an hour and a half.
This could be the best thing you've ever seen. Let's go into it open-minded.
Sure.
Why not?
My pick next time.
I really hope it's fucking good. I really do.
Amazing, Mistara of Evil. Okay.
We haven't done a 70s movie for a long time.
Nah, fair play, Paul. We haven't, like, Hills of Eyes, Exorcist, Dawn of Dead, you know. I mean, there's a guy with a creepy hat from fucking Poltergeist 2. So, I'm holding high hopes for this. What the fuck? Sorry, I was just watching a trailer.
Be good, man. Have faith.
I will. Okay, excellent. That draws to close another lovely episode. Episode 152. Thanks so much for listening. If you like this podcast, as we do, then go on to Apple Music or wherever you get your podcast and give us a good old rating. It helps get the podcast out there. Other than that, we will move on to episode 153, which I cannot remember what is out. No idea. I think we're too short for Late Night of the Devil and Abigail, which are out in April. So we'll have a look. I'll move from our little something to scream about. We're going to do some homework. And our inspiration this time is...
Moon.
The moon.
Our inspiration this episode is the moon. So, yeah, we can have lots of interesting... There's a lot. This could be fun. Okay, cool. And then I'll move from the vault. Geordie Paul has picked out one from 1974. Messiah of Evil. Cannot wait for this one. Cannot wait. And there's only one more thing to say. When there's no more room in hell, here's another podcast.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
You can follow us on Twitter at @DrawOneLast, Instagram at @DrawOneLastBreath, or pop us an email at @DrawOneLastBreathPod@hotmail.com.